Penguin Random House Audio presents Buster Keaton, A Filmmaker's Life by James Curtis. Read for you by David Pitu. In memory of James Caron. One of the reasons I love him so much is because he lives comedy as well as practices it. The real comedian has to live his work and be happy about that. Stan Laurel. Rivers, Manitoba. September 23, 1964. The man in the pork pie hat is unhappy. His head down, arms akimbo, he paces grimly as a documentary crew captures him on film. "What happened?" he's asked from off camera. "Didn't he tell you what he was going to do?"
"No, I didn't know. He shifted gags on me."
"What did you expect it was going to be?" Buster Keaton strikes a match, shielding it from the wind as he lights a cigarette.
"I thought I was going to be fouled up with the map, because I decided that last night. And he decided not to. I didn't know it."
The setting is a trestle spanning the Little Saskatchewan Valley, a bridge that, when it was built, was the longest of its kind in Western Canada. On its single track, Keaton, in his by now familiar costume of hat, coat, vest, and string tie, is to be piloting a speeder, a little two-cylinder track car that carries him along at speeds of up to 30 miles an hour. The question is what he should be doing as he crosses the trestle, which rises some 90 feet above the valley floor. His director, animator Gerald Potterton, has asked that he cross while doing his laundry, the idea being that he never leaves the moving vehicle from the time he boards it on the coast of Nova Scotia until he reaches Vancouver in the Pacific Ocean, a journey of more than 3,800 miles. Keaton, however, thinks he should be bunched up in a map so that his character isn't aware he is in danger. The idea had taken form the previous day. "Beautiful trestle bridge," said Potterton as he entered Keaton's private car, a 7-compartment sleeper on loan from Canadian National Railways. Jerry Potterton and a company of 9 were in the middle of making a 24-minute color subject for the National Film Board called The Rail Rotter. Simultaneously, a 16mm documentary on the making of the film was being shot under the title Buster Keaton Rides Again. Potterton and his cameraman, Robert Humble, had made an advance trip in August in which the men identified likely settings for their breezy travelogue, and the historic trestle just outside Rivers offered the chance for any number of gags. Keaton had an idea.
"Now, I get out the map. Once I get it pretty well open and the wind catches it, it's going to wrap around me. So I cross that trestle wrapped up in a paper, standing up in the car, fighting the paper."
Potterton was apprehensive.
"I'll tell you, the locality is fine," he hedged, hoping to change the subject.
Keaton was a master of physical comedy, and racing along a trestle in an open car didn't begin to approach some of the signature stunts he had done over his long career. But he was also just days from his 69th birthday, and though solidly built, in fragile health.
"It might be the funniest way to do it," Keaton mused.
"There's another thing come along," said Potterton, pointing out the window. "See those little houses over here?"
"Yeah."
"Well, in those houses live little speeders, about 6 of them."
"Oh, I see."
"Imagine this, a long shot of the bridge, and suddenly, from left to right, 3 or 4 of these other little box speeders all come over." Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch.
"That's a single-track trestle?"
"Yeah, single-track, yeah. They go across, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, slight hold, and they all reverse, going like mad, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and you're there waving them on."
"You mean I chase them off?"
"Chase them off. Next shot, you cut to those little houses. The four guys come in very quickly, stop, take them off the tracks, and you just, whoosh, shoot through, and that's the sequence.
And they all look out at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Keaton, though, was not easily dissuaded.
I don't know why, he said, but I like that cleaning house. I get out the map to look at it just as I hit the trestle. Getting on it and getting scared is not going to mean anything.
I'll get my pad because I want to draw it, and I'll show you what we're going to do.
Potterton begins to sketch the scene.
This is the shot with the bridge. We get the valley like that, this damn great big bridge.
Why aren't these two gags the same thing? Wondered Keaton, acting it out. I don't know, I put my broom down and everything else. Now I wonder where I am. Out with the map, and once I get it opened, I'm helpless. Well, now your shot going across that trestle is all the funnier. I'm chasing them, but fighting the paper at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm fighting the paper and going past, and four heads come out and look. I don't know I've chased him out. I don't know I've crossed a dangerous place, either. They don't feel like being run into, so it'll all work out.
It was a test of wills between a fledgling director and a world-renowned comedian, the sort of match that in Hollywood wouldn't end well for a young man with just one live-action short to his credit. But Keaton was never one to throw his weight around, even at times when the quality of the picture was at stake. He would grouse, pace, complain, but in the end he would do what he was told, even when he knew it was wrong. Buster Keaton was a gentle soul, so quiet and unassuming it was easy to forget he had been making the world laugh since the age of 5. On screen, he was a tabula rasa of emotionless energy, onto which audiences could project their own aspirations, triumphs, and misfortunes. To James Agee, his unsmiling face ranked with Lincoln's as an early American archetype. Haunting, handsome, almost beautiful, yet it was irreducibly funny. The French called him Malek, the Poles Zbysko, and in Iceland he was known as Glogo. At some point, the great stone face ceased being a work of nature as defined by Nathaniel Hawthorne, and attached itself to him so thoroughly it could easily have been his legal name. Keaton's authority on the set of The Rail Rotter comes not only from his stature as one of the screen's great silent clowns, in the opinion of many greater even than Charlie Chaplin, but also as a world-class filmmaker with a string of 19 short comedies and 12 masterful features to his credit. Just prior to the start of shooting, in fact, The Rail Rotter Company, along with NFB staff and friends, squeezed into the Film Board's Theater 3 in Quebec's Saint-Laurent borough to witness the showing of a movie Keaton had co-written and directed in 1926. The General, another story about trains and the tracks that carry them, was Keaton's masterpiece, easily the most ambitious comedy feature of the entire silent era, a film that would eventually come to dominate the Sight and Sound Critics' poll as the greatest comedy of all time. And 33-year-old Gerald Potterton was charged with directing the man who made it.
What makes it tough, Keaton tells the documentarians, is that I can't match scenes, because I didn't have it in my mind that way. I don't know, if I went back now to protect this chase in close-ups, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what I was doing at the time I should be doing it, so we can't make scenes match.
Cut to Jerry Potterton.
Don't forget there's still two other shots to go to complete the sequence, Buster. There's a long shot of the bridge, of him going over. That's the whole center of the gag, is that long shot of the bridge.
The bridge is not your gag, Keaton insists. The bridge is only suspense, a thrill. There's no gag to the bridge at all, not a goddamn thing. It's only a dangerous place to be when there might be a collision. That's the only thing that's funny.
Back in the rail car that doubles as a dressing room, club car, and occasional over-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?